can only imagine what it will be like.
You are 30 seconds of fair. When look I at you.
By your side.
You get a gold star.
I can only imagine.
If you're just a jerk like me, nobody wants to talk to you.
What my eyes will see when your face
you, just have got to work on your character. Quit being so good.
Is before me.
This is back to life.
I can only imagine, yeah.
Hey, welcome everybody. Glad to have you here on this Sunday morning. We're going to try to get the little caffeinated song going for this morning, a little song about revival. Glad to see you here as we revive the spirit this morning. One more song to do for you here this morning before we get things going. It's called We Delight. We will bow our hearts because we are free as we raise our hands to give you glory, Father. welcome someone here this morning. Very, very good to see y'all.
Maybe.
All right, you're on.
So many smiling faces. Look at them all. Okay, Seth, they can't hear us right now.
No, they can hear you.
Oh. Good morning. Oh, I like that response. That's good. I wanna share a verse. I am an absolute fan of this whole entire book. I hate when I start out a statement like that, so through the sentence I changed it. But I love 1 Peter, that's what I was going to say. I love the entire book, but 1 Peter, we were in it this morning, and so I started reading chapter 1 a little bit too, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I love the word joy. Every time I read it, it gets me so excited because that is what draws people to Jesus, who is addictive, who is the hole in our heart that we're trying to get filled, and we often use bunch of things in the world to do that, but when people see the joy that Jesus brings you, that is the key to our faith. I really feel it is. And so I wanted to share that this morning. Seth, you can go on to announcements or whatever.
Thanks. How am I supposed to? All right, awesome. Hey, so I will just go right into announcements. Please take out your bulletins. Hey, we're trying our best to get less and less at telling you what's going on. You should just read the bulletins. That's why they're there. If you don't read them, then we'll just save some money and give it to poor kids. That's what we'll do. So read the bulletins. That's what you do with bulletins. All right. So there is some things though that you need to just be aware of. Going on during the week. Hey, there are Awana, Life Changers, all that sort of stuff, Grief Share. Hey, just be looking at that side because every week we come against, hey, we talk to people, hey, do you have this in your church? Absolutely, we do. And so just be aware of that. One thing that's not on here that's starting today is our adult Christmas program that we'll be doing. If you would like to be a part of that this year, hey, they're going to meet in this large classroom right in the hallway. There should just be a door there. So, but in that hallway there is the large classroom. You can just meet and be a part of that, okay?
Every morning, Sunday morning, Seth hands out these things to those of us leading worship.
Stop it.
Or are,
stop.
Are back there doing slides, Welcome Center, and just to people that are kind of leading things on Sunday mornings. And so it goes through the lineup of what we're going to do on Sundays. At the bottom, it talks about announcements. And this is the part that Seth puts here for him and myself so we know what announcements we're going to do in what order. And then in the morning, we write our names next to which announcement we're going to do. We have popcorn.
Oh, thank goodness.
We have popcorn back there. Seth spelled it this morning, P-O-O-P. C-O-R-N. I didn't want to say it out loud the way I feel that that's pronounced. from here. And so I'm sorry to be disobedient and not do this announcement exactly as you wanted, but we have popcorn back there that the proceeds go towards Guatemala, our trip in November. It tastes better than what Seth thinks it does.
It's what happens when you eat it, all right? Okay.
The next thing I do want to announce also, I actually have a Facebook page for all the leaders of youth group, adult leaders and student leaders, and we're all on that, and we share kind of what's going on. This morning I put a post that we are going to meet after church. If you're an adult leader or a student leader, some of us aren't on Facebook as often. I did announce it for a couple weeks, and I always forget Rob. See, this is why I announce it from up here. So there's a meeting after church. We will not be meeting in the large classroom or the youth room because there's stuff going on. And so we're just going to kind of move that way and see what rooms are available for us. And we'll end up somewhere on that part of the church. Thank you.
Yeah. Are there any other announcements this morning before I give my final announcement? Got one here, one over here.
Hi, I'm Jessica DeGreek, and this year I want to start something called the Thanksgiving Box. It's going to go to families in Wolf Point in need during the Thanksgiving season. It'll be something, it'll have turkey, gravy, all the fixings of Thanksgiving dinner. We're hoping to get at least 10 families, so we could really use some donations to get these boxes. We just purchased them at Albertsons, and then we can go over and deliver them just before Thanksgiving. Thanks.
We are partnering with the church over in Wolf Point to be able to do that. And so they're helping us find 10 families in Wolf Point that need some help. Those boxes are $55 a box. Comes with everything to do, a meal. And so if you are interested in a part of that, hey, please talk to Jessica, all right?
Amy Fastback here. I forgot to stand up last week. Kids Christmas program is in here. The reason Brian cannot meet up in the youth room is because of me. So kiddos, if you're looking for where practice is, if you're 5 years old up to sixth grade, come on upstairs to the youth room. We have our Christmas program, and today is our last Sunday for auditions. So we'd love to have you join us. And I think Miss Elizabeth, she's gonna stand up and say something too. So thank you.
I'm not great.
Blue.
I guess I am. I am gonna stand up. Today is a really special day. Today is Mary Pattison's birthday and Linda Stath's birthday. And I think in view of that, we ought to sing them happy birthday.
She's like saying no. She doesn't want it. You have to start it if you're going to do that.
I didn't even know anybody was at that. Good. I really had no idea anybody was back there.
Yeah, I know.
That kind of scared me.
And it's amazing. She's 120 years old today, and so it's phenomenal. Doesn't look a day past 29. So there we go. Elizabeth.
Yeah, good morning. Elizabeth Shipstead here. I have two things. Last week we started the Women's Connection cards, and there's a few cards left in the basket on the Welcome Center. So if you didn't grab one of those, grab one of those, and that's the lady that you're going to connect with, either phone call or just at least pray for her this month. So grab one of those. And then the second thing is I'm going to be helping out with the Christmas program for the 3 and 4 year olds. So if you have a 3 and 4 year old that would like to join us, yes, call me. I have some instructions here, just kind of words, you know, those things, but it's going to be very simple. And really the expectation is that they look cute, and they've all nailed that. So really, we'd love to have them. So, all right.
Awesome. my last announcement is, hey, we have been loving Wednesday night's dinners. Hey, we serve about anywhere between 130 to 160 people on Wednesday. And so, hey, we have volunteers that come in every week. And that is phenomenal because it just helps us go right into Awana. And so those of you who have been making dinners and are serving those dinners, we just want to say thank you as pastors, because you just make it that much easier for us to be able to do the ministry of Wednesday nights, of youth group and Awana. One of the things about Awana that's coming up in the near future is we have an Awana carnival, and there's been about 85 to 90 kids coming to Awana on Wednesday nights. And so that carnival gets to be staffed by tons of people. And so we need your help setting up, playing those games. It's always black light carnival and all that sort of stuff. And so Terry needs some help setting that up, because we'll be going to annual conference that week and everything like that. And so Terry, right back there, she's going to wave her hand. If you are interested in helping setting that carnival up, would you please go talk to her? She needs about 5 or 6 volunteers just to be able to help set that up and everything like that, okay?
Great. When is it?
The carnival is the 25th of October, Wednesday the 25th of October. And so we're looking to try to set it up by the 15th so that we have it all set up and ready to go. Okay?
Cool
beans. Yeah. And the last thing that I have for you guys before we go into sharing prayer is, would you just look right in front of you and grab out that 3x5 card that's sitting in that pocket right in front every single week, or it's on your chair if you sat in the front row. But what we're asking every week is just that you would be willing to write a prayer request for us, that as we are a church, we love praying for one another and just walking through life with one another. And we have just been really blessed by being able to do that, by knowing what's going on in your guys' lives and being able to pray for that. And so this is what we're just asking you, okay, is just to, on that 3x5 card, just write a prayer request. Hey, I need prayer with this week. And then as the offering basket goes by, just drop it in the offering basket. If you don't want it to be shared with anybody, would you just please write pastors only? If you want it shared with everybody, you don't have to write anything. And we'll just make sure that it goes to the appropriate people. And we have you being prayed for all week long. Okay? Cool beans? All right. Would you be willing to pray with us this morning? Let's pray. God, you are our joy. Sometimes we come to church out of, some of us have to be here because our parents drag us, or some of us feel compelled to be here because that's what we've done all of our lives. Or some of us just desire to be here. And Lord, in all of those in between, Lord, you are the centerpiece of it all. God, as we sing songs, that it's not about what we like or what we dislike, but it's about you. That God, from you is our joy, our hurt, our hope, our security, our shelter. And God, as we come to worship and as we come to spend time with you, Lord, would we realize that you're doing things in our hearts, and would we be attentive to it and not be blind to it, not shy away from it, but to actually allow your spirit to fill us so that we can be the church that you're calling us to be, so that we can love one another like we should be, because it doesn't come naturally, Lord. It doesn't come easy. But God, in the prayer requests that we have been getting and seeing and will be getting, Lord, it's needing you to enter into our lives so that we can share you with others, that we can be bold, that God, you would enter into the midst of surgeries going on, of tragedies that are happening. And God, you've called us as a church to band together in the moments of those, to pray to you, to seek your guidance and your wisdom, and to know that you give us peace and you give us direction and guidance. And God, Lord, whatever is going on in each and of our, one of our lives, Lord, would we realize that you've got us, that in every situation we can know that you are our ultimate hope and our ultimate truth. And God, that we would rely and rest on you.
Lord, we thank you so much for this morning. As we worship together, may we remember, just as Seth has already said, that it's all about you. Lord, this is the point in our week where we can truly be selfish and focus on ourselves, but Lord, may we turn that to our particular relationship with you. Because the more we grow with you, the more we'll grow with each other. The more your joy will be felt, your love will be felt, your grace will be given, your patience will withstand, and our community will be changed. Lord, speak through Seth the message that you've given. Have him move out of the way. And may our hearts, eyes, and ears be open to receive that message. We leave all these requests to the most level playing field there is, the foot of the cross. And all God's people said, amen.
Hey, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. And while we're taking offering this morning, we get to be blessed by some special music from Shauna Frank. And hey, here's the deal. We'll be putting words on the screen. If you want to sing along, go for it. Or if you just want to sit there and enjoy it, please do. So,
everybody, my name is Shauna Frank. I am the youngest yet tallest daughter of Jesse and Doris Frank, who are right here this morning. Wave your hands. Hi, guys. They are going to be here until the train leaves Glasgow at noon 26, I think it is. So please say hi to them quickly, and then they will be leaving. But they are here, so say howdy to them. Yeah, like as Seth said, these are some oldies but goodies. Please join in with us. If you can stand and pass the offering at the same time, you're welcome to do that. Whatever you feel comfortable with.
Sun.
Good job, everybody. Thank you.
Hey, if you are 3 years old through third grade, run out of here as fast as you can right now. Go, run. Yeah. Running in church is phenomenal. I like it. You hear that? You hear it? Yes. I've been wanting to do that for weeks. Today was the day, I guess. So if you have your Bibles, why don't we open up to John chapter 3 right now. John chapter 3. We've been going through for the past couple of months. We've been just kind of hitting the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and now we're in John. And what we've been doing is just kind of going into, hey, not so much who is Jesus through the Gospels, but literally, what is Jesus telling us to do? What is he saying? All that sort of stuff. Now, here's the deal. I don't normally have a coffee cup, and so if you probably are wondering, I have a little bit of a sore throat, and so I'll be drinking coffee every once in a while, so don't get, yeah, it's got vodka in it. I'm just joking. It doesn't. Anyway, it's just coffee. But we've been just going through what Jesus is trying to teach us through the Gospels. And so would you pray with me this morning before we read this? Hey, God, this is a pretty weighty scripture for me this week. And so, Lord, I would pray that you would move me out of the way and that we would get into what this is saying to us today, into our hearts, so that as we leave, it's not just a good message, but that it actually has the power to change lives. God, we walk out and we walk in newness of life, and that we see you differently than we've ever seen you before. And so, God, I would pray that our hearts would be open, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. We're going to read John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. And if you don't have your Bibles with you, they'll be up on the side screen, and then you can just read it with me. So here we go. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sounds, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you did not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But for whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Pretty straightforward, right? Every single one of us knows John 3:16. But what kills me is the whole section before it. You know, we talk about over and over again in as we read the Bible that it's all about context. It's all about what's really going on and what's really happening. And as I was reading this, I started to just right away just think of entering into this conversation. Entering into what's going on. We think we've got everything all under control until we come smack faced with something we don't understand. You know, I kind of likened it like this, that, you know, there's always that joke that a guy who let's say owns a club or owns something, and they have these special passwords to be able to get into the club, right? And so they walk in and they knock on this club door, and they're like, well, what's the password? And he says, well, we didn't discuss this previously, right? If I knew the password, I'd already tell you about it. And so the joke goes, well, I can't let you in. And so I started thinking about this over and over again, is what if somebody came to you on the church this morning and said, hey, what's the password? You can get in if you know the password. But not a single one of you knows the password because you hadn't heard from it, or you hadn't gotten the email, or you hadn't really, you hadn't been a friend of mine, and so you didn't get the text. And so you're standing outside going, well, wait a second. I've been going to church there for years. What are you talking about? I need the password. And so then I kind of, you then start figuring out, okay, well, what do I need to do differently? Well, maybe what I need to do is I need to dress the certain way, right? That will get me in. That will definitely get me into the church. And so what do you do? Because I can see, right? It's glass doors. And so you dress the certain way and you're like, I'm in now, right? And I said, well, you still don't know the password. You can't come in. So then you go, well, what if I change the way I spoke? Would that get me in? And so then you have a conversation with me, and man, all of a sudden you use all the words that you're supposed to use for what we think church is supposed to be. And then you say, well, can I get in? And I respond, well, you still don't have the password. I can't let you in. Sorry, you can't. And so then all of a sudden you go, well, what if I changed absolutely everything about me until you accepted me? And then once you accept me, then I can get in. I mean, we try every single thing, don't we? But you still wouldn't know the password. You still wouldn't have the password. Maybe for some of you, you've tried to guess. Well, the password must be password, right? Or the password is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, right? Every single thing that we can think of, you know, like Chinese food, right? Because, you know, Seth Brunner loves Chinese food, right? All these different things, which, by the way, I think that I should get royalty, because the last time I talked about Chinese food, they got tons of people at the Chinese food. And then the next week when I talked about B-dubs, I got a picture from somebody who was in Buffalo Wild Wings. It's crazy. I should get royalties as a pastor, right? No? Okay. But anyway, I look at this and I go, what if it was something that you couldn't do whatsoever to enter in to the door? What if it was something that you completely didn't even do on your own? You just simply showed up and started going, no, I need something different. Because here's what happens is in the story, we've got a man named Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee by all terms and rights. Man, this guy knows what's going on, right? We've talked about this already. If you're a Pharisee, you've already been able to memorize the first five books of the Bible by heart. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. By heart. Like, this guy knows the law inside and backwards. He knows what's going on. He knows the story of Israel. And you know what's funny about this? Is a guy who absolutely knows everything is still on the outside knocking, going, I don't know what the password is. Because I think it's funny that the very first thing that happens in John chapter 3 is Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. My dad always told me this. He goes, nothing good happens after midnight. Right? Like, growing up, he always said that. And I look at this picture and I go, man, what? He can't even come to Jesus during the day? He has to come at a point in time where either nobody sees what he's doing and or he's coming out of a spot where he's just done. It has to be resolved right now. I'm in the moment of my darkness. I need something different. Please, something's got to change. And he goes right into this whole entire question of, hey, how does this happen? What's going on? We see that you're good. Because here's a lot of things. This is what's always been interesting to me. I have never met anybody in my whole entire life in all my stuff that said that Jesus didn't exist. I've really never met anybody who's ever said, you need to prove that Jesus existed to me. The question is, and all of their things is, okay, so what is Jesus really? That's what we have to wrestle with. Because Nicodemus sees that Jesus is doing all these amazing things, and he says, this doesn't match up with what I've always known. This doesn't match up with how things are going. This doesn't match up when I've said all the right things, I've been doing all the right things, but it doesn't match up. I don't get what you're saying. And Jesus goes, well, I'm going to tell you something. And I love the spots where he says, truly, truly. And so we're going to go into those this morning. We're going to look at what actually Jesus is saying every time he responds to Nicodemus and says, truly, truly. Because here's the deal, is this where Jesus is saying truly, truly, I believe is where the power of the gospel is. That every time Jesus responds to Nicodemus in amazing ways, I think that is just another challenge to a guy who maybe has been, who literally wants to know God as much as he possibly can. And he's sitting there going, I'm coming to you at the darkest hour here, buddy. I need your help. I need you to share something with me. I need to have something different. This week I got a chance to be able to go to Great Falls and do some training on just high-stress jobs and people who deal with post-traumatic stress syndrome. And I looked at that, and the whole entire time I sat there going, man alive, like, they're teaching literally just how to cope with things, how to just live with it. And I spent the whole entire time going, I wonder how this actually maybe works in the kingdom of God. Because at one point the guy said, it's not that we're actually trying to get you to cope with it. Okay, we're actually just trying to get you to be able to see it for what it is and walk around it and be able to go, this is what it is, and I'm just going to live my life with it. And I thought, that's a really hard point to see, because if we don't have something that's grounding us, then that problem keeps coming up to us over and over again. And then as who we are, we just start to just deal with it. Right? Well, it's just there. I'm just going to drag it around. And I started thinking to myself, not that I'm trying to say that that stuff isn't worth it, because I see the value in it, but I looked at it and I go, where can Jesus enter into this? Where does Jesus enter into our lives in the darkest hours? And in all of our questions, what does Jesus try to accomplish and talk to us about? And so that's what we get to look at today. And I want you to have some fun with this because I love Nicodemus's responses. I just love how he responds back to him. And so if you'll join with me in some of the thoughts and seriousness of it, I absolutely love it. But there is something that I need you to realize, okay, before we get into all of this. That fundamental to our church for a very long time and to the church as a whole is a system in which we've worked on, we have to convict a person of sin, which compels us to cry for mercy, and then it makes us, allows us to be responded by the Holy Spirit, who then we realize the Holy Spirit regenerates the soul, it reforms it, and it fits it for heaven. And so today, as you're working through this, I want you to get something. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is doing everything in the room today. That it's the only person that can convict you of sin. I'm not standing here going, hey, you're wrong, you're going to hell, all those sort of things. That's not what my job is to do. But my job is to actually create a bridge in which you get to see where you're at today. And so before any of that stuff, before we get into his responses, I want you to be open. Where are you at in your Christian walk? I tell everybody that I come in contact with that everyone is on a continuum of a relationship with God. If we said to people on a scale of 1 to 0 to 10, where are you at with Jesus? And some people will say, well, I'm a 0, which is all the way from God, I could care less. And here's Jesus, man, I'm at a 10. Which, by the way, if you think you're at a 10, then that means you're dead, because that's 10 is being with Jesus, okay? And so today I want you to focus on, where is your continuum with God today? Because the guy that comes to Jesus in this very moment already thinks he's at a 9. And I guarantee that I think that he walks away going, wait a second, it's not what I thought it was. This week, as I was even looking through this piece of scripture, I went to a friend of mine as I was in Great Falls. I got to meet with another pastor. The first thing he said, well, how's it going? And the first thing they said to him, that I said to him was, I'm pretty sure I'm not a Christian, right? Because after reading all of this stuff, and he goes, nah, as you're talking about it, this means that you actually want to know the things of God. One of the things I said to him, and I know I'm getting off track, but I know we're going somewhere with this. One of the things I said to him is, he said to me, no, really, how are you doing? And this is literally what I said to him. I think I'm doing good. I think God wants to do some things in my heart to allow our church to grow. And he looked at me and he goes, oh, so you think God cares that much about how big your church is compared to your spirituality, huh? Ow, right? He said, this is how he responded. He goes, I don't think God cares as much about how big your church is compared to where your heart is with him. And so some of you today might be going, hey, I need God to do A, B, and C for me. I need God to maybe I need to repair something so that I can get this. And I'm here to tell you that that's not what this sermon is about. This sermon is literally about you doing work with God. God, where do you have me? Where am I at in this continuum? Where do I need to work on for things? Because God wants a relationship to be with you. Not so that you can be better at a job, right? Those are the ancillary benefits of that. But literally, God is saying, no, I want to have a relationship with you, and so where are you at in this process? And so, if you're still with me, let's go right into our first point of the day is that the kingdom of God is seen when we are reborn. The kingdom of God is seen when we are reborn. John 3:3 says this, that Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." So Nicodemus comes to him and says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Have you ever been in a frustrating conversation with somebody where you don't think anything is going the way it goes, and this guy, all he says is, "Hey, Jesus, you're really cool. I really like you. I think the things you're doing are amazing." And he says, "Truly, truly, you, I say to you, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Where do you go after that? What do you even say to a person who is having a conversation with you and you have no clue what he just, all you just said is, "Hey, I think you're really cool. Man, it seems like God is with you. What's going on?" And even better is Nicodemus's response. "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" This is just like you walking to the front of the door, and I'm sitting there, and you're trying to get in, and I say, "Hey, you need to know the password." And you're sitting there going, "There's no way I'll ever know the password. There's no way I'll ever get in then." And Nicodemus is going, I don't get this. I don't understand. You mean that you're asking me to crawl up inside my mother's womb, who I'm already like 60, she's got to be 120 now, right? And now I'm supposed to be reborn. How is that even possible? How does that even happen? I think Jesus's point is phenomenal to Nicodemus. Because Jesus' point is, you see all of these things, but you still aren't willing to enter into the life. Because I think Jesus is saying this, to see the kingdom of heaven means to have power in prayer, to have communion with Christ, to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and to bring forth and produce all the joyous blessings and fruit that's affected by that. Being reborn is a process of going, I know that my life is an absolute disaster. I know that I've sinned. I know that I'm wrong. Not a single one of us needs somebody up here to say, you're wrong, you're sinning, because we already all know that. We already all know that we're not great human beings. To see the kingdom of heaven means that we desire to be admitted into the kingdom of heaven. That's the first start, right? We're standing outside the door going, I see that I want in that place. I see that I want there. Would you please let me in? We're starting the process of being reborn. How many of you guys, I didn't know this until I got married, but do you realize that a baby stays in the mom's belly like for 10 months? That was phenomenal to me, right? I always thought it was 9, right? But it's like 10 somehow, right? And all these things. Do you realize that maybe there's the process for you in that? That some of you, as you're looking and Nicodemus is sitting there going, I need to be reborn. What if it's a process for us? What if it's a process of going, all right, I want in there, what is it going to take? I want to be reborn, I want to see the kingdom. And we have to change, right? We have to start going, what in it needs for me to change? But there's something that happens that I think is phenomenal, is that Nicodemus goes, that's impossible. That's absolutely impossible. I can't do it. I can't be reborn. And so Jesus' response to his conversation of you can't be reborn is this. It's in John 3:5. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And so if you're still taking notes with me, the second point is the kingdom of God is entered when we are recreated. When we are recreated. You see, and Nicodemus kind of already understands this because he's already had all this, he's already grown up in all of this scripture. And so Ezekiel, this is kind of an alliteration back to Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27 that says this, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit will be put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." You see, it's kind of weird to some of us because we hear this verse that says we must be, right, cleansed by water or born again. Sorry, go back to that verse for me. Thank you. One is born of water and the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. As I was looking at this week, I thought, well, is this a point in time where people have to be born, people have to be baptized, and they have to be baptized in the Spirit? But as I was looking at it more and more, I think what it literally means is that as we've gone to this place of, I want the rebirth, I want to change and be different, man, it now becomes about, okay, I can't do this on my own. If you go back to Ezekiel 36, 25 through 27 for me. He says, when I sprinkle this water on you, when you want to be clean from your uncleanliness, he says, verse 26, and I will give you a new heart. The problem is that most of us have come and we just do this thing in church, right? We want converts, right? We want people to see the bad sin that they have in their lives, and then we want them to change, but literally all they do is start coping with their sin. Well, if I can control this sin, then I'll be good. I'll be golden. But literally what this is saying is no, we have to have a new heart. We don't get sprinkled when we're 3 years old with water, and then when we're 18 years old, do everything bad we possibly can and say, no, I'm good. You don't understand. I've been saved. No, it's a difference of, I have a new heart. I want and desire the things of God. And only the Spirit can do that, which is phenomenal to me because when Nicodemus asked the question, how can I be reborn? Jesus completely answers it by saying, you can't. Only the Holy Spirit can. Only the Holy Spirit gives you a new heart. The change is then radical, right? As we are working towards being reborn and recreated, the change is radical. It's radical. It gives us a new nature. Makes us love what we hated and hate what we loved. It sets us on a new road. Makes our habits different, our thoughts different, makes us different in private and different in public. It allows us to see that we are new creations. The old things are passed away. Behold, the new things have become, that all things have become new. I have a question. Have you ever met somebody who said, I'm a Christian, but looks completely like the rest of the world? You don't know anybody like that? There should be 200 and some odd hands raised right now. I don't know. I did a quick 50-50. I don't know how many people are in here. It's literally becoming recreated and becoming new. We want the things of God. And so what that looks like is this, is that we literally have a change of disposition. It's not about us anymore. The changes become about our soul. Are we doing things that are helping our soul out? Or are we doing things that only just hope that God maybe blesses them? God, I'm going to do this. You better bless it. Or is it about, God, I want to do what you want me to do today. Please help me out. I have a completely different disposition. It's a supernatural change. You've heard people talk about this constantly, a changed heart. There are some people who, if you ask them about their testimony, they're like, man, I was cussing and drinking like a sailor, and all of a sudden I don't do that anymore. Right? There are some people that have that amazing change. I didn't. I don't know tons of people who have. But there are a lot of people that that's happened to. Our nature in itself, by the Holy Spirit, not by what we're doing, has changed us. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. And then, as we're recreated, it changes us into the likeness of God. That literally everything that we're doing and trying to accomplish becomes about the glory of God. It's not about our world. It's not about what we want. It's honestly about what God wants. I've had this conversation over and over again in my mind because I have this boat that sits out in my driveway. And I looked at it and this summer and Brian knows what's happening here. I was sitting on my deck and I looked at it and I said, I should sell my boat because I only used it like two times this year, right? Two or three times this year. It's just worth, I should use it and I should sell it and then do something with the money. And as I was sitting there, another friend of mine goes, yeah, I've got some stuff I should sell. And so like we're all sitting there and I realized that as we talked about it, we're talking about like, I mean, my boat's not that much, so it's my friend, right? But we're talking about $100,000 of excess stuff we have. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about changing in the likeness of God. And I just go, yeah, I could sell it and I could give to like the needy. And the next day I was sitting in some of my quiet time and God was like, no, you won't. What you'll do is you'll sell it and then you'll put the $3,000 your boat is worth into a money market account, hoping that it creates interest and do nothing with it. And then later on you'll go, hey, look how God blessed me. I have $3,500 now. This is amazing. So I started thinking more like, okay, great. It's not about the boat, right? It's not about selling everything. It's literally about, am I being like God? Because another person I talked to, they have a boat that's probably worth way less than me, but they've used it like 100 times because they fish every day, right? So it's literally not like, oh, I have to do this because of some social injustice or some social justice thing. No, it literally becomes, once again, about a relationship with God. It becomes about sitting down with him and saying, God, I want to be more like you. And so I don't want to look at all my stuff and go, oh, I'm so blessed and this person is not. No, am I using my life for your benefit, God? It becomes about being like God. The problem is that takes a heck of a lot of work. It's not a 15-minute or day or high five, Jesus, we met, thanks for everything. No, it literally becomes, man, I'm sitting with him for hours on end. As I'm walking around, as I'm driving, thinking about him, God, what are you asking me to do? And then as we become more like God, this is what's phenomenal to me, okay? This is what's amazing to me is as we're recreated, it means that all things change. Not just us, but all things. Everything around us changes. It means literally that we are living, I've said literally like 20 times now. Okay, just raise your hand when you hear me say it. But when we become more like God, it means that everything around us changes. It's almost like heaven is on earth instead of us living our life until we get to heaven someday. I was reading a sermon by a guy. I'm not going to go into his name, but I was reading his sermon, and this is what he said this morning. He said, "For really, heaven isn't for most of us in this room. Heaven wouldn't be that appealing to any of us. Because if at one point in your mind today you're like, I don't like this song, man alive, God would, he's like, we sing endless praises to Jesus in heaven, to God in heaven, to the Holy Spirit. If you don't like how long this sermon has gone, guess what? We're talking about God all day long in heaven. If you don't want to talk about the things of God, guess what? Heaven's probably not the right thing for you. Then he says this at the very end. He says, it is their own disability that prevents them from seeing heaven. So when God says that you cannot see the kingdom of heaven, it means it is your own disability for the enjoyment of heaven that will prevent you from entering there. Because at some point we come and we have to say, man, I want God more than I want myself. And so God, would you recreate in me a new heart? And if you're still with me, the last point that I love that Jesus goes on, because he says a whole bunch more stuff in there about the flesh being born of flesh, and that goes back to, man, needing a changed heart. The last point is this, that the kingdom of God is lived when we are renewed. We go from a point of being reborn to wanting God, and he then recreates in us a new heart. Have you ever seen what happens with a heart transplant? Like, have you ever seen or heard of a story of a person who got a brand new heart transplant and then is running a marathon the next day? Or gets up that next day and just starts walking around the hospital? No, it's a process. It is a process of the Holy Spirit coming and saying, hey, you know what? You need to work on this in your life. And when I talked about all things becoming new and heaven being here, it is that heaven then is a state made here. That it's made in the heart, that maybe through God's Spirit within us, that we are becoming renewed and we can go, here are the things of heaven as I walk around and be the person that God has asked me to be. Because until we are born again, and until we are recreated, and until we're continually being made renewed, we won't enjoy the things of heaven here on earth. Titus 3, 4 through 5 says this, but when the goodness and our loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us and our own righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on to say until the very end, to say, to do the work of God. The Holy Spirit is the one that guides us and directs us. And it becomes less about heart healing and more about soul giving or soul healing. That our souls are being more and more healthy and whole, and we're working towards the sanctification, working towards the things of God. And so this morning, here's what we get to do is, as you are sitting in your seats this morning, and I'm going to ask the worship band to come up, but as you are sitting in your seats this morning, I want you to think about a couple different things. We're going to sing a song that's called As the Deer, and one of the things it talks about is just as this soul comes and needs nourishment, our souls long for God. Our souls desire to be reborn, and only God can do that. We've already talked about that, and that he recreates us and that he renews us. But in that, as you're doing that, I need you to know something. The next song we're going to sing after that is How He Loves. Because at the very end of this whole entire scripture was this, verse 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus Christ is not sitting here going, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. No, he's sitting there going, I'm giving myself up so that you can see your need to be reborn. Because whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. That's you. You have to believe in that. You have to believe in the hope that is through Jesus Christ. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. That's the whole point, that as we realize that he loves us, that's what the song we sing, How He Loves, as we realize that, we then desire the things of him. We then respond to love the light rather than the darkness. And so, just like last week, this week you get to do some work as well. You get to ask yourself, have I been reborn, or am I just plain church? Have I literally been recreated? Or am I just trying to get things so that maybe God likes me a bit more? Or for some of you, you've been in church all your life and you maybe have said, man, I've been regenerated, I have a new heart. But man, you don't listen to the Holy Spirit all week long because you don't have time for it, or you're not willing to put the time in. Because the song How He Loves is literally saying, because he loves us so much, I want to do this. And so would you not only sing the song, but would you actually work through it and go, where am I at? Because some of us have a hard heart. I know I do. I've worked through some this morning. And as I've been preaching up here, I literally know, literally, there's the word again. Raise your hand. Thank you. I know that he's been talking to me going, man, you're struggling with this. Be renewed. And then Brian will come and close us.
So my soul, I'm in that dream. Thank you.
ask you to sit down for just a second. That's not in preparation for me to speak for a really long time. Just for a second. We've been going over actually something very similar. We actually went over the story in youth group, and so it's really cool. I mean, Seth and I do talk, but we don't plan our lessons that way. God does, and so it's really cool that he's going through John, and this is where God called him to, and we're actually going through a book called The Purple Book, is where kind of the lessons are coming from, and we're going along, and so it's amazing how God plans all this stuff. But the story of Nicodemus, the way we talked about it in youth group, was we compared it to real birth, like real birth, when you actually do leave your mother's womb and you become a human, their life before the womb, right? Like we all believe, amen, that the moment things are connected, that we have a life there and God loves it. But if we were to reach a microphone into mother's womb and talk to a baby that can't talk, they would think that life that they have inside the womb is everything. They would think that they've seen everything that they can see. And they've traveled to all four corners of the womb. They know mother's voice perfectly. They know what it's like to breathe and walk. But then they're born. And that cord is cut. Their connection is lost and then immediately regained. But they realize what it is to breathe and what it is to struggle to learn to walk and to communicate And so when we make this connection, we have this point of being born. And then in this verse, it talks about the wind and the spirit, which are both in the Greek the same word. And I know you've heard me say this before, and you're probably tired of it by now, but wind and spirit are the same thing to God. This baby that thought it knew how to breathe then realizes what it is to breathe. And sometimes we think we're reborn, and we know what it is to breathe with God. Wind is invisible. Wind can be loud. Wind can be disruptive. Wind can be cooling. It can be warming. It can be moving. And it can be completely avoided if we stay inside. And so in this rebirth that Seth talked to us about this morning and God so eloquently put in John chapter 3, I want us all to close our eyes for a minute. And some of you hate taking part in this. If you hate taking part of it, I'm sorry, don't close your eyes. It's okay. But let's close our eyes for a minute, for just a minute. And let's take a breath like we do every single morning. We're breathing in and out, and every morning we don't realize that it's God that gives us this breath. We keep breathing, we keep the same motives, and we know what it's like to live. We've traveled to the corners of Glasgow, Montana, to the corners of Montana itself, to the corners of even the earth. And we've seen everything and we understand. We know what it's like to walk in newness. We know what it's like to hear the Father's voice. But if we pause for a minute with our eyes closed and we really concentrate and we ask God, Lord, please, let us all be reborn in this moment. Let us all realize what each breath is, and that is a miracle. It's unseen and it's moving. It's life-giving, and your spirit is unseen and it's moving and it's life-giving. Lord, your spirit can be uncomfortable. It can be warm. It can be hot. It can move us in directions that we don't want to go, and we've learned completely how to avoid it if we stay where we feel comfortable. But Lord, I pray with our eyes closed, and as we continue to breathe, we realize that each one of these breaths is a miracle given. Some of us have never been reborn, and we don't know what it means to live with Jesus, but Lord, I pray that right now, every breath brings us closer to you. Lord, I pray that as we look at our lives, we realize that we don't know what it means to walk with you. And that every day you can make us a new creation that's learning to walk with you. Lord, every day you can remind us of what your voice is and where it's leading us. And we can be more comfortable in not knowing where your spirit's leading, but be comfortable in letting it push us. and letting it disrupt our life and tear things apart. But Lord, we're not going to hide anymore. We're going to cut the cord that attaches us to this world and we think it's the only thing that is going to keep us alive, the only thing that will make us happy. But Lord, once we're laid on your chest, when we're reborn, we can know your voice. Thank you so much for your spirit. Thank you so much for this story. Thank you so much for questions from a religious leader named Nicodemus thousands of years ago that are still worth it today. Lord, we love you. We ask all of these things in your name. And everybody said, amen. Have a good Sunday.